a reluctant flock of geese, honking and straggling all over. They numbered about 50 and carried weapons. The steel was more impressive than the soldiers carrying it. The local armorer did his job well. Whoever trained recruits did not. They were more pathetic than my gang. And my guys had the advantage of having knocked people over the head before, and so had little reluctance to hurt someone again, particularly if that someone threatened them. Tobo, go get Goblin. The boy eyed the approaching disorder. I can handle that clusterfuck, Sleepy. One-Eye and Goblin have been teaching me their tricks. Scary idea. A frenetic teenager with their skills and their lunatic lack of responsibility. That might well be. You might be a god, but I didn't tell you to handle it. I told you to go get Goblin, so move it. Red anger flooded his face, but he went. If I had been his mother, he would have argued until the wave of Southerners rolled over us. I walked toward the soldiers, painfully conscious that I still wore the rags I had had on since the day we sneaked out of Taglios. Nor was I equipped with anything remarkable in the way of weapons. I carried a stubby little sword that never had been much use for anything but chopping wood. I was always at my best as the kind of soldier who stands off at a distance and plinks the enemy when he is not looking. I found a suitable spot and waited, arms crossed. Chapter 61. No grand effort had been made to train these troops or clothe them well, which reflected the Protector's disdain for petty detail. What threat could the fledgling Taglian Empire possibly face out here at the edge of beyond anyway? There were no threats from beyond the borders. The officer leading the pack was overweight, which also told me something about the local military. Peace had persisted for a decade, but times were not yet so favorable that this country could support many fat men. Huffing and puffing, the officer could not speak first. I told him, "Thank you for coming. It shows initiative and a mind capable of recognizing the inevitable swiftly. Have your men stack their weapons over there. Assuming everything goes the way it should, we'll be able to let them go home in 2 or 3 days." The officer gulped some more air while he strove to understand what he was hearing. Evidently, this little person had some mad notion that she had the upper hand, though he had no way of telling if I was he, she, or it. I allowed the rags at my throat to fall open long enough for him to see the Black Company medallion I wore as a pendant on a silver chain. "Water sleeps," I told him. Sure, rumor had had plenty of time to carry that slogan to the ends of the Empire. Though I failed to intimidate him into ordering his men to disarm instantly, I did buy a few moments for the rest of the gang to gather. And a grim-looking band of cutthroats they were. Goblin and Tobo came down to stand beside me. Sara shouted at her son from somewhere behind us, but he ignored her. He had decided he was one of the big boys now, and that stinking goblin kept encouraging his fantasies. I said, "I suggest you disarm. What's your name? What's your rank? If you don't get rid of the weapons, a lot of people will get hurt, and most of them are going to be you. It doesn't have to be that way. If you cooperate." The fat young man gulped air,